The lie that built the modern church. And how it's about to end. What began as peace became control. What was called unity became compromise. The lie that built the modern church is about to end. The peace that deceived. There was a moment in history when persecution ceased and the church breathed in relief. The year was 313 AD. Emperor Constantine signed the Edict of Milan, ending centuries of bloodshed against Christians. At last, it seemed that faith had triumphed over fear. The prisons opened, the catacombs emptied, crosses were lifted high above cities that once burned believers alive. But peace is not always pure. What Constantine gave with one hand, he controlled with the other. The church that had survived through weakness was suddenly invited to rule through strength. And with the emperor's favor came something far more dangerous than persecution: influence. The cross, once a symbol of surrender, became a banner of power. And slowly, a new kind of empire was being born. Not against Christ, but under his name. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. That destruction didn't come in a single moment. It crept in quietly, disguised as progress. The church traded purity for popularity, conviction for comfort. And the great falling away had begun. The council that changed everything. Just a decade later, Constantine called the bishops of the world together in the city of Nicaea. His goal wasn't holiness, it was unity. He wanted one creed, one voice, one empire. It sounded noble. It even sounded godly. But when politics sits upon the throne of faith, truth always bows to power. For the first time, an emperor presided over the church. The Nicene Creed was born. And while its words carried truth, its method carried poison. Faith was no longer guided by the Spirit. It was decreed by the state. Those who resisted were banished, and the church learned that doctrine could be dictated. The result was the beginning of a system that would soon replace the movement of God with the machinery of men. From that moment forward, Christianity was no longer the faith of the crucified. It became the religion of the empire. The seed had taken root, and what grew from it would change the world. The edict that enslaved. By 380 AD, Emperor Theodosius took Constantine's experiment to its final form. With the Edict of Thessalonica, Christianity became the official state religion of Rome. And for the first time in history, Christians persecuted Christians. The sword that once defended the faithful now punished them. The empire that once killed believers for confessing Christ now killed believers for confessing him differently. Truth had been nationalized. Faith had been weaponized. while they are saying peace and safety. Then, destruction will come upon them suddenly. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. The destruction was not the ruin of cities. It was the death of discernment. The voice of the Spirit was drowned out by the roar of the crowd. The church that once hid in caves was now sitting on thrones, robed in gold, and blind to its own America, captivity. Great again. The empire's religion. Rome had found its perfect formula. Power wrapped in piety. To maintain control, it baptized paganism in Christian names. Temples became churches. Pagan feasts became holy days. Statues of gods were renamed as saints. The altar of sacrifice became the altar of ritual, and the faith that once called men to repentance began calling them to routine. The fire of the Holy Spirit was replaced by the smoke of incense. The Word of God was chained to the altars of ceremony. The empire's religion had been born. And though centuries have passed, its spirit still lives today. The modern echo. That same spirit still lives, only now it wears sneakers and smiles on stage lights. The empire has traded its marble halls for megachurch arenas. The same deception that entered through Rome's throne now enters through our screens. It promises peace, safety, prosperity, but it still destroys truth. It preaches blessing without repentance, grace without surrender, comfort without the cross. We have built cathedrals of convenience and called them churches. We have traded the fire of the Spirit for the applause of the crowd. The gospel of Christ has been replaced by the gospel of success. And millions don't even see it happening. This is not a new corruption. It is the final stage of an old one. The lie that began in Rome now thrives in revival tents, social media feeds, and prosperity sermons. The enemy no longer needs to persecute the church. He simply partners with it. The serpent's voice hasn't changed. It still whispers, "You can have the kingdom without the king." The remnant that will not bow. Yet, even now, a remnant remains. They will not bow to the idols of politics or popularity. They still hunger for holiness. They still love truth more than comfort. And they still know our King is not of this world. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." This remnant carries the same courage that burned in the hearts of three young men in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to bow before the golden image. They refused. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up? Daniel 3:16-18. That same defiance of idolatry is rising again. The furnace may look different. It may glow with screens and politics instead of flame. But the command is the same. Bow or burn. And the remnant still answers, "Even if he does not, we will not serve your gods." The final stage. We have reached the last chapter of the long deception, the place where compromise is celebrated, truth is optional, and the name of Jesus is used to build kingdoms he never blessed. But the end of the falling away is not despair. It is the awakening of the faithful. It is the moment when truth stands up again, not in temples, but in hearts. "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." 2 Corinthians 6:17. God is calling his people back to purity, back to power, back to the simplicity of the cross. The world will call it division, but heaven calls it deliverance. A final word. History has come full circle. The church, once persecuted by Rome, became Rome. And now, once again, the empire has found its way into the sanctuary. But the kingdom of God is not shaken. The cross will outlast the crown. The truth will outlive the trend. And the Lamb who was slain will reign long after every false kingdom falls. The great falling away may be complete, but the great awakening has already begun. If this message stirred your spirit, don't stay silent. Like this video so the truth can reach more people. Comment. Your words might wake someone else up. Share it everywhere. Let the light travel farther than the lies. Subscribe to stay connected and visit truthhuntersshow.com to read more revelations, watch the full series, and join the movement. And if you believe in this mission, exposing deception, defending truth, and awakening the remnant, I invite you to give. The Truth Hunters Show is 100% viewer supported. No sponsors, no corporations, no compromise. Every prayer, every share, every gift keeps this light burning. Truth Hunters Show, uncovering what history tried to hide and what prophecy has already revealed.